We are doing the book of Micha, and we're up to what's called the fifth chapter. The prophet had been describing the great war of Gog and Magog, and the time of the Messiah when we will have this fantastic war, and we will actually be victorious against all the nations. And the Navi continues and says, Pasuk Tet, Vehaya vayom hahun umadonai vichati susecha mikirbecha vehaavadti malkevotecha. Vehaya vayom hahun, it will be on that day. Vichati susecha mikirbecha, Hashem says, I will remove the horses from your midst. Meaning, your military success will not be contingent upon your military might. It will not be contingent on your horses, so to speak, but rather it will be God who will give you victory. V'yichati susecha mikirbecha, I will uproot, I will cut down the horses from your midst, v'avatim al kibotecha, I will get rid of your chariots. God says your success will not be because of the physical military might. Rashi learns that the idea here is, you won't need your peace treaties with Egypt and the other ones. Egypt was always famous for their great horses. So the Navi was saying, I will remove the need for all these peace treaties. You won't need those horses that you were importing from Egypt. I will remove the fortified cities from your midst. You won't need to have walled cities. And I will destroy all your fortification because you won't need it. Your cities will be able to live without walls around them. And when you see that I am watching over you, you will stop going to all the sorcerers and all the fortune tellers. I will remove from your hands all these different types of witchcrafts. Ume'oninim lo yiulach. And you won't have these mo'ninim, these people who say, today's a good day for this war, today's a good day for that war, this is a good sign for this, and this is a good sign for that. No more. You'll realize that I'm the one watching over you. Ve'ichati fesilecha umatzevotecha mikirbecha. And when you recognize that I am running the show, I will then cut down the idols and the altars you made for idols in your midst. When Hashem says, I will cut down, the idea here is that you yourself will realize you have no interest in them anymore. And you will no longer bow to the things that your own hands fashioned, meaning you will no longer bow to those idols that you yourself made. And I will uproot the trees that you used to bow to. Asherah is a tree that was worshipped. I will uproot those trees that were used for idol worship from your midst. And I will destroy your enemies. Ve'asiti be'af uvchema nakam et hagoyim. And then I will treat the nations with anger and wrath. I will pour my anger and wrath over them. I will take revenge from the nations. Asher lo shameyu. It will be a revenge like no one ever heard before. Shim'una et asher Adonai omer. Listen now, says God, to what I have to say. Kum ri v'te'arim v'tishmana ha'geva'ot kolecha. Arise, God says to the prophet, and I want you to argue with the mountains. And I want you to raise your voice to argue. The hilltops should hear your voice as well. Kum ri v'te'arim, arise and fight the mountains. What does it mean, the mountains? God is saying, there are multiple understandings here. Kum ri v'te'arim could mean, I want you to argue with my people to the extent that even the mountains will hear, even the hilltops will hear. God, so to speak, is going to take Israel to task over what they've done. Our sages say that throughout Tanakh, when we encounter harim and kvaot, mountains and hilltops, that is a reference to who, Mr. Shoal? You remember?
Yeah.
Who?
We did that about 2 lessons ago.
Right, the mountains are?
They're comparable to... There was you did more examples than that.
The mountains are the forefathers,
yeah.
And the hilltops are the matriarchs.
Yeah.
The patriarchs and the matriarchs. Throughout Tanakh, our sages tell us, harim is a reference to the patriarchs, and kvaot are the matriarchs.
So when they're dancing in Hallel,
right. So Chazal discussed that too, right. Harim and kvaot. Right.
So
very
matriarch
good.
Would be like
Sarah Rivka Rachaleah. Four mothers.
Mothers
four mothers.
The slave girls and the two other higher class girls. Okay.
Geographically,
the mother of Benjamin.
This is happening in Israel. The prophet is talking to the Jewish people in Israel. So the simple reading here is that God is saying, I want to take Israel to task. Let's do an accounting here. God is about to rebuke us. And he's saying, I want this rebuke to be famous till the point where the mountains and the hilltops hear me. Shimu harim et riv Adonai ve'aitanim mosedei haaretz. Listen, the mountains, to God's argument. I want you, the powerful ones who are the foundation of the earth, I want you to hear me. And so to speak, God is saying, I want the mountains or the forefathers to hear my argument. Eitanim, the powerful ones, Chazal say, that's a reference to the forefathers. Yerach Eitanim Bechag, the month of Eitanim, the powerful ones, the Talmud tells us in Rosh Hashanah, we will learn it soon, Bezlat Hashem, in our Rosh Hashanah class, that's a reference to the forefathers. Kiriv Ladonai Imamo Vim Yisrael Yitvakach. For God has an argument with his nation, God is going to take Israel to task. Ami ne'asiti lecha umehel eticha anevi. My nation, what have I done to you? Let's review history. What have I done to you? What have I ever done anything to make it difficult for you? I want you to give testimony against me. Well, let's take an accounting. What have I done to you and what have you done to me? Have I ever made you work hard? What have I done to you? Ki helitcha me'eretz Mitzrayim u'mibeit avadim piditcha. For I took you out of Egypt. I redeemed you from the house of servitude, from the house of slavery. Vayishlach lefanecha et Moshe, Aharon u'Miriam. And I sent before you Moshe, Aaron, Miriam. They taught you. They taught the men. Miriam taught the women. Aaron and Miriam were two fantastic individuals. The Avos Rabbi Nosson says that when Aaron and Miriam spoke against Moshe, so then Aaron and Miriam both got leprosy, and then Aaron's leprosy, God forwent it right away, and Miriam, who spoke more against Moshe than Aaron, so God let it stay for 7 days, and Aaron comes to Moshe and says, pray for her. Aaron says to Moshe, you think she's the one burning? We're the one burning. We're all suffering here. She's our sister. It's like a person who has a hot coal in his hand. So he starts tossing it from hand to hand and on his chest. And anywhere he tosses it, he's getting burnt. We're all one. Miriam's our sister. If she's getting burnt, we're getting burnt. It's like a guy who's tossing a hot coal. What difference does it make which part of his body gets burnt? So she's an extension of us. She's our sister. And then he turns to Moshe and he says, Moshe, tell me. Have Miriam or I ever said a bad word about anyone? Have we ever hurt any person throughout our lives? Pretty phenomenal line. And Moshe says, no. Could you imagine that? A brother and a sister that can say, we've never hurt a human being. And then Aaron says, well then, can you imagine if we've never hurt a stranger? We would never want to hurt you, but we made a mistake. We're human beings. We made a mistake. Forgive us. So God says to us in this pasuk, Hashem says, I sent before you Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. When we read this line, we have to appreciate who is Aaron and Miriam. We know who Moshe is. Aaron was not only the Kohen Gadol, Aaron was the peacemaker in the Jewish people. The Medrash says that there were hundreds of little kids running around named Aaron because when the parents would squabble and they'd contemplate getting divorced, Aaron would come and be peacemaker. And then they'd reunite, and he'd help them with their shalom bayis, and then they'd have another kid. And they'd say, this kid is only because Aaron made peace between us, and they'd name the kid Aaron. So who God says, let's take an accounting. What did I do for you, and what did you do for me? I took you out of Egypt, and I didn't only take you out of Egypt, I gave you such fantastic leaders, Moshe, Aaron, Miriam. Ami zechona mayatz Balak melech Moab umeana oto Bilam ben Beor. Let's review another part of your history. What was Balak thinking to do with you, and what did Bilam the son of Beor, the prophet, tell him? We're holding in Micha what's called the sixth chapter, the fifth pasuk. So God says, remember, Balak, the Moabite king, hired Bilam, the non-Jewish prophet, to come and curse you. What does Bilam tell Balak? What does he say? Min ashitim ad Gilgal lema'an dat tzidkot Adonai. All the way from, remember the good I did to you from the time of Shittim, when you were worshipping idols, and I didn't let you go even then, till Gilgal, till I brought you into the land of Israel. Look at how good I was with you. What happened when Balak called in Bilam? Balak tells Bilam, I want you to curse the Jewish people. What does Bilam say? I can't curse. God doesn't curse these people. How could I get God angry at them? My whole strength, Bilam's strength, was that he could catch that split second every morning when God angers. There's a split second when God sees all the leaders of the planet, that they all have faith in other things, that the Gemara calls it, they're all bowing to the sun. There's a split second every day when God, so to speak, looks at the world, sees the leaders of the world, that they're all pagans, they're all worshipping. Today we'd say they're all worshipping money, the economy, whatever it is. In Chazal's time they said they're all worshipping the sun, and then there's that split second where God has anger. Well, if you could catch that split second, then whoever you curse, that anger falls on them. Bilam was the only human being who knew how to catch that split second. So Bilam figured, I'll just catch that second, I'll curse the Jewish people and be gone with them. But God did something unusual. All those days, God wouldn't get angry. Throughout world history, every day, God got angry. On those days when Bilam wanted to curse us, suddenly no anger. So Bilam says to Balak, what do you want me to do? Ma'ezom, lo zalma shem. How could I turn God's anger at them? God's not upset these days. Something unusual is happening in the world. God's changing the course of nature, so to speak, spiritual nature. So God says to the Jewish people, it wasn't a coincidence. Remember what happened. Balak calls in Bilam. And Bilam has helped Balak. Balak, when Balak had a war, who told Balak he'd be king? Bilam is the one that prophesied him that he'd be king. Balak wasn't even a Moabite. And Bilam blessed him and told him, he told him a prophecy, you're going to be king of Moab. So Balak knows Bilam's power. When the Moabites have a war with Og and Sihon, so then Sihon hires Bilam, and he stands up there and he curses the Moabites, and Sihon is successful against them. So all the nations knew that Bilam's got power. And yet when Balak calls him in and says, I want you to curse the Jewish people, suddenly Bilam can't do anything. Only blessings emanate from his mouth. He says, what can I do? That's all God wants to say about these people. He only wants blessings. So God says, you want to do an accounting? Where was I for you and where were you for me? God says, let's review. I took you out of Egypt. I sent you the greatest leaders. When there were prophets of mine who came to curse you, what do the prophets end up saying? I can't say anything bad about them. God only wants to say good about them. Min ashitim ad Gilgal. You were standing at the border about to enter the land of Israel. And what were you doing? You went with the women of Moabites. You went and served idols. And nonetheless, I took you into the land of Israel days later. What did I do for you? What did you do for me? Leman dat tzidkot Hashem. I want you to recognize my righteousness with you. Bama akadem Adonai ikaf leilohei marom. The prophet says, so to speak, in the name of Israel, he says, God has done so much good for us, and how could I look up to God? How could I even stand before Him? How could I bend myself before God? He is so great. Bama akadim Hashem. With what can I greet God? With what gift can I bring before Him after all this good that He's done to us? Ikav, how low can I bow down? Lelokei marom, to the God who is so high. Ha'akademenu ve'olot ba'agalim b'nei shana. Should I come before God with sacrifices that are totally burnt before Him? Should I bring Him young calves that are a year old, that are the best calves? He says, what, does God really need these? Am I doing God a favor when I bring sacrifices? So we owe God something. How could we ever pay it back? Hayirtze Adonai be'alfei elim berivevot nachalei shamen. Does God want thousands of animals as sacrifices? Does God want rivers of oil? Ha'eten b'chori pishi perividni chatat nafshi. Should I offer my firstborn as a sacrifice before Him? Because God forgoes my sin? Should I give Him my children? Because he forgives me for what I've done wrong? What am I supposed to do? You know, God's done so much good for us. And here we have to understand that these psukim, we read them very simply. But we have to understand the period when this was being said. This was a period of time when all our neighbors, the pagans, if you read the literature of the time, they believed that God wanted sacrifices. God wanted human sacrifices. This was the way to serve God. And when they'd go to war and they wouldn't be successful after the war, if you read the Iliad, the Odyssey, you see, what do they say? I guess it's because I brought a sacrifice that wasn't the best possible animal. I guess Zeus was upset at me because I didn't offer him a sacrifice. I only offered a sacrifice to her hermaphrodite or whatever, you know, all the different gods that they believed in. I offered a sacrifice to this one and that one got jealous. They believed that the gods really wanted all of this. So the Navi keeps reminding us, God doesn't want this. You know, God gave us a way of serving him, but it's not like he needs any of this. And when the Navi is saying this, we have to get it in the perspective, in the historical perspective. All our neighbors didn't believe this. All our neighbors believed that God wanted blood. God wanted, I slaughter your son. That shows even more dedication. We find when the Assyrian Empire lost their war against the Judean Empire. So what does the Assyrian king do when he goes to bow? He says, God, I will offer my two sons. And his two sons look at one another and they said, us? So they assassinated their father. But that's what people believed at the time. And the prophet tells them in a simple form. He says, how could I thank God? Is it the sacrifices? That's not what God wants. So what does God want of us? Says the Navi. Higid lecha adam matov. I'll tell you, men. You want to know what's good? I'll tell you what. Uma Adonai doresh mimecha. Now what does God want of you? You want to know what God wants of you? What is it? How do you pay God back for all the kindness He does for you? Tells us the Navi, Ki im asot mishpat ve'ahavat chesed ve'atznei alechet im Elohecha. Here's what God wants. It's not about sacrifices. It's not about donations. It's about asot mishpat. Do justice. God wants you to be fair. Number one, honesty, justice. Number two, ahavat chesed. God wants you to love kindness. It's not only about doing what's right, it's about also doing what's kind. Hashem wants you to go in His footstep and be a kind person. Ve'atznei alechet im Elokecha. And when you do all of this, do it in a modest fashion. That's the punchline. It's not enough what you do, it's also about how you do it. Meaning, first, justice. Two, not only kindness, but love kindness. Do it with a positive attitude in recognition of how precious it is. And number three, do it all out of modesty. Don't go telling everyone, I just donated $1 million to the Red Cross. You know, do things in a modest way. V'atznei alechet im Elokecha. So the Navi taught us a phenomenal concept here. Ordinarily, we think God wants us to be humane. God wants us to be moral. So we're supposed to do these things. The Navi is telling us it's more than that. God has done all this kindness to us. And then God says, and how do you pay me back, so to speak? When you're nice to your fellow man, when you live a moral life, God says, then you've paid me back. It's a totally new concept. It's not only about being nice to our fellow man and keeping the mitzvot and being decent. No, the Navi says, so how do you pay God back? This is how you pay Hashem back.